Does this sound like your parents' music or maybe your grandparents' music? It may be hard to believe now, but this song was one of the biggest pop hits of all time. It's Begin the Beguine, performed by Artie Shaw's swing band in 1938. The song had people foxtrotting in ballrooms all across America. Artie Shaw would have been 100 this Sunday. Even though Shaw was part of this hugely popular big band wave, there was something else going on behind the polished sound. WNYC's Sarah Fischko looks back at Shaw's life.
It's a familiar sound, and a familiar image, too. Handsome guy up there in a tux. 14 musicians on stage, they're making smooth, pleasant music. Benny Goodman, Count Basie, Gene Krupa, Glenn Miller, they were all working then. But there was always something a little different about the dashing and conflicted Artie Shaw. For one thing, there was his peculiarly dark theme song, Nightmare, it was called.
I mean, a band's theme song. Every time they went on the radio, this is what you heard. Boo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-dee, all that kind of stuff.
Musician and writer Lauren Schoenberg.
There is something very foreboding and almost sinister about Nightmare. It really does say a lot about him, that he could skyrocket to fame with that thing.
Artie Shaw had been born Arthur Arshawsky in 1910 in New York, the son of a photographer and a seamstress, and he played first the piano, then alto sax, then the clarinet.
He was totally obsessed with the clarinet. I mean, he practiced clarinet night and day, day and night. I mean, if anybody was preoccupied with the instrument itself, it was Artie.
Will Friedwald, music writer for the Wall Street Journal, points out that Shaw's other attributes didn't hurt either.
Artie Shaw really was a matinee idol. I mean, he really looked like Tyrone Power. He looked like Clark Gable. He looked like a great leading man.
By 1936, he'd burst on the scene. 2 years later, still in his 20s, he was a major player with his own big band and one of the biggest hits in the history of swing, Begin the Beguine.
You know, he really took a relatively complex tune and made it accessible.
Lauren Schoenberg worked with Artie Shaw in Shaw's later years.
He dressed it in some very simple rhythms, you know, that bup, 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 and he very cannily used these little hooks and things.
But for Artie Shaw, to have a hit that big, that early, was the beginning of the end. Like Rachmaninoff and the C-sharp minor prelude, like Beethoven and the moonlight, Shaw was haunted by his hit. He saw his life before him, playing Begin the Beguine over and over again, hundreds of times a season. He aspired to greater things than making millions. Within a year, he'd given up the band and made plans to move on.
That was just such a shock, you know, because America, particularly during the Depression, it was all about getting ahead, all about making money. And the idea that somebody would want to do something other than make money, nobody could quite believe it. And that was totally Artie's perspective.
Jitterbugs are morons, Shaw said at the time to the New York Post. He said he was miserable despite his enormous success. He withdrew to Mexico for a while, but he still owed his record label, RCA Victor, some music. He returned and emerged from the recording studio with an even bigger hit, Frenesy. It's that back and forth that characterized Shaw's career. He built up to and then backed away from enormous successes over and over again. Not to mention his personal life. With his movie star looks, he married 8 times. Among his wives, actual movie stars, Lana Turner and Ava Gardner. Gardner wrote that he never stopped talking. Artie could go on about every subject in the world, and for that matter, a few outside as well. And that's yet another Artie, the ambitious intellectual.
When you talk to Artie, the conversation would range from Gershwin to Groffé to George Grosz to Dashiell Hammett in 8 seconds, and you just had to try and keep up with him.
With all that going on, he still managed to get a lot done. He championed progressive political causes and tangled later with the House Un-American Activities Committee. He boldly hired Billie Holiday to work with his band, one of the earliest instances of a black singer working with a white band.
Any old time you want me, I am yours for just the asking, darling.
He experimented with music in small groups, most notably his Gramercy Five, which introduced harpsichord, of all things, into pop music. He recorded classical music by Ravel, Shostakovich, and Poulenc. But as the years passed, he complained, the public still screamed for his hits. Artie tried to oblige.
This is Artie Shaw. We've lined up a lot of your favorite tunes, and here's hoping you'll enjoy them half as much as we'll enjoy playing them for you.
Spotlighting a tune that needs no introduction. Artie Shaw's famous arrangement of Begin the Begin.
It was like they really wanted him to be a walking jukebox of just those big hits and not play anything else.
Shaw did play other things, of course, such as these tracks from the 1950s with Hank Jones. They made some beautiful music together.
I don't think there's any other jazz clarinetist that could have played some of the things that he played at that time. And there's no discomfort. I mean, he's totally fluid and totally fluent in this modern vocabulary.
But in the end, in the mid-1950s, at age 45, he gave it up. He left the stage and the recording studio once and for all and wrote a long, searching autobiography called The Trouble with Cinderella. The trouble was, he said, that nobody lives happily ever after. As the final blow, he famously turned his clarinet into a lamp. Shaw never returned to music and died in 2004.
Artie's proclivity to keep sort of examining himself and seeing where he stands is totally unique. I mean, there's not one other person of that era that does anything like that. And that's like exactly the kind of thing that all these, like, you know, sort of posing rock stars of the 60s and 70s do, you know. How do they keep it real? That's a conceit for a much later era.
Remembering Artie Shaw isn't easy. There's so much to discover and dissect. Let's just say that before it was fashionable, he turned ambivalence into an art form. As we listen to Shaw generations later, the music just sounds richer somehow, the more we know of the ups and downs of his improbable life. For Studio 360, I'm Sarah Fishko.